Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on likelihoods for 2009 when we come back. You know, with an income of $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Now, that's if you're self-employed and you're paying that 15.3% fee or rate. Well, then, shouldn't you subtract that $7,650 from your $50,000 income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance instead of paying 17% of the $50,000 twice? But you see, the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of the $50,000, and that's called Social Security tax. Then they make you pay 17% of the same $50,000 in income tax. And that means that you paid 17% on that $7,650 twice. Now, that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from you and from everyone else that pays that tax. Now, what would you think if Sears or Penny's or your credit card company charged you twice, like Social Security and the income tax does? Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. Now, tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education, and if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Now, again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? Hey, we're talking about discontinuities, or how should I pronounce that? Continuities, discontinuities, or the likelihoods of events that are coming out of this world economic crisis, as they're being called, or it's being billed by the president in Washington, D.C. Last time I went over a list of things that I said I think you can expect, and I'm reviewing an article here in the current Money Changer. This is the January 2009 Money Changer, and the article on likelihood. What's the likelihood of this occurring? And so my evaluation is it's an absolute certainty and it can't miss. It's like a terrorist standing in the doorway of an airliner, which is 24 inches wide. And the captain has a .45 in his hand. He can't miss. That's why I've always said, I think we should follow the Jews' example and arm the cockpit crew. They don't have any hijackings over there in Israel. They don't hijack their airliners because the cockpit crew is armed. They give them a $500 gun. Instead of spending $37 billion a year on homeland security, they just give the airline pilot a gun. Solves the problem for $500. The Jews can do more with $500 than the United States government can do with $37 billion. Now, how do you like that for an economy of scale? So we're taking a look at insanity here, and insanity in the monetary system. So I pointed out to you last time, we have spent $350 out of the $700 billion stimulus package signed by President Bush back in October. We've already spent $350 of it, half. And Senator Dornan from North Dakota said, we can't identify or trace one dime of the first half of the $350 billion that's already been spent. We have no idea who got it, and we don't know how much they got, and we don't know what they spent it for, what they did with it, or where it is today. And that guy is a United States senator. Now, what do you think happened to your $350 billion? That's why I said last time, I think that Americans are suffering from terminal insanity. Well, at least 62% of them who actually believe, at least that's what they're telling pollsters, that the president's going to bail us out of this economic fix. So I took a look at a list of them here yesterday. I want to run through them quickly right here again. Can you expect deflation? And the answer is no. Inflation, yes. Government solutions, no. More government meddling, absolutely. A short recession, no. A long depression, yes. A strong dollar, no. Hyperinflation, yes. Economic recovery, no. Shortages, wage and price controls and rationing, yes. More unemployment, yes. A collapse of the dollar, yes. A new monetary system, yes. Food shortages, hunger and famine, yes. Civil unrest, disorder, yes. Martial law, yes. A new constitutional convention, yes. A new constitution, yes. State and municipal bankruptcies, yes. Bond market collapse, yes. Stock market collapse, yes. Pension fund collapse, yes. More corporate bailouts, yes. Debt relief for homeowners, not on your life. The purpose for putting all of you homeowners in distress is to force you to comply. The last thing they're going to do is give you any relief. The purpose was to put you in distress. Now, Franklin Sanders wrote a long article here in the January issue on likelihoods, because two guys came into his office and said, we want to prepare for what's coming. And it struck him. He said, well, wait a minute. You can't prepare for every eventuality. There isn't enough money in the world to do that. So he sorted it out and said, well, what's going to be more likely? So I started off last time and I said, look, if we were mixing chemicals together, and at the end of the mixture, it exploded, kind of like TNT, that's the way Nobel, I guess is the way he pronounced his name, he discovered nitroglycerin. He mixed some chemicals together, and they exploded. And so he did it again, and they exploded again. And every time he mixed these chemicals and these combinations together, they exploded. Well, then, pretty soon, he could predict when it was going to explode. Now, if you follow a certain policy, you can pretty well predict what the outcome is going to be. And so in business, there's a modality for conducting business, and people that don't follow that modality go bankrupt. So when I see people who are overextended, who go into debt, pay excessive rates of interest, I sit back and say, that guy's going to go bankrupt. And then one day he goes bankrupt, and I say, well, see, I told you so. And then you're sitting there saying, wow, my God, Gordon, you're a regular prophet. How do you do that? People ask me, Gordon, do you have a straight line with God? Does God reveal these secrets to you? And I tell them, no, I'm just watching people. I'm an old man, and I've been watching people do this for years and years. And every time I watch people follow that same pattern, they get the same result. I've been watching people get divorced for years and years. And I watch what they're doing, and then I watch the divorce. And then pretty soon I put the two together, and I say, well, now if I see somebody out here doing this, I can be pretty sure that this guy's going to end up in divorce. One of the things that I've observed is that adultery ends in divorce quite often. Not every single time, but almost every time. Sometimes people get killed over adultery. So when I'm watching old Tom, you know, when he gets off work, he goes down to the pub, has a few beers, and then goes down to Flo's place. I just keep watching him, and pretty soon Maggie finds out that Bob's going down to Flo's, and then she gets mad and gets divorced. Then she gets the kids, the house, he gets the child support and alimony. And so I keep watching and watching and watching, and 97% of the time, the old lady gets the kids, and the old man gets the alimony and child support payments. So when I'm watching this, I say, I think old Bob's going to end up divorced, and I think he's going to end up with alimony and child support payments. And when it comes to pass, people say, wow, that guy Gordon's a real prophet. See that? All right, now, last time I showed you, I said, are we going to have deflation? I said, no. Nope, there's no deflation. There hasn't been a dime's worth of deflation so far. That's a ruse. Told you that. Now, is there going to be a recovery? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's going to be a recovery in 2010. Engineered recovery. Watch how it's going to happen. How do I know? That's what happened the last time. That's what they did the last time. Now, there's an objective here. There's a goal that government, business, industry, and the establishment have. There's a role for you to play, and they want you to join up and play in the game. And so to do that, they've got to put a little pressure on you. See? So they're just putting pressure on you right now. Things are bad and getting worse, but this isn't the worst of the worst yet. That doesn't come until 2011, 12, 13, 14. So there's a little bit of time for you to get ready for this. And if you get your mind set, you know, you get paying attention here to what's going on, makes it easier. Now in 1930, after the stock market collapse in 29, in 1930, the market lost about half of its value and then recovered 64%. So in 1930, people thought this is the end of it. You know, it's this little blurb about like 1921 and everything's going to be honky-dory. And so people took their money and they went out and bought stocks at the high in 1930. Well, then the market turned around in 1931, and then it went down to a total loss, when it was all said and done, of 89%. And so it wiped out all those people that thought the thing was over in 1930. And that's what's going to happen again. Now, how do I know that? Because that's what happened the last time. So I'm just watching, you know, what happened the last time, and I'm just betting on that happening the next time. And that's because it's a proven winner. And the Illuminati, the people in the seats of power around the world, you know, all the think tanks, those people have had nothing but success working this scam for the last, 2,000 years. It has worked perfectly every time for 2,000 years. I don't see any reason why it's not going to work this time around. Now, they don't catch everybody in the trap. I mean, hell, you can't catch every coon that comes into the chicken house. I can get most of them. But, you know, there's always one that gets away. If we could get them all, we could eliminate coons. We could eliminate possums. You know, but you can't get them all. There's always one that gets away, and then he goes out and breeds and produces some more. So you can't get rid of all those bankers out there. There's always one or two of them gets away and they go out and reproduce. And the same thing is true with us. You know, you can't get all of us. You know, some of us get away and we learn from our mistakes and then we say, now I'm one of those that escape. See, I'm out here with my gold and silver coin and my Ten Commandment model, and I'm doing everything I can to stay out of the banks and out of Social Security. And there's other guys out here doing the same thing. So, you know, if you think that you're an oddball and you're a weirdo out here, no, there's more. In fact, there was a prophecy in the Bible, a little story over here, a guy by the name of Elijah. And he was being hounded by the government. The king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel, they were out to get him. And he wasn't just paranoid. I mean, they were out to get him. They sent out 3 SWAT teams to bring him in. And a bolt of lightning came down out of the sky and killed the first 2 SWAT teams. Third gang came out there, 50 men in each SWAT team. Can you imagine what the police were saying about Elijah setting up an ambush, setting up a trap, and killed all those police officers? I just thought I'd point that out to you. You know, the government, you know, was out to get Elijah. Well, anyway, Elijah was kind of despondent. That was before, you know, they had these despondent drugs. And so, you know, he was feeling pretty low one day. And he said, I'm the last man in Israel to practice this law. He was practicing the Ten Commandments. Everybody else was practicing communism, except Elijah. He is still practicing the Ten Commandments. And he said, I'm the last man in Israel to practice this law. Well, Big Mike came along. See, this is Michael the archangel. Big Mike, he comes up and he says, oh no, Elijah, there's 7,000 just like you in Israel that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Not many. You know, not the broad majority now. Not very many. But there are a few. And so, you know, when people write me a letter and they say, you know, I'm really despondent down here in Texas, I always write back, dear despondent in Texas, there's 7,000 in America that have not bowed their knee to Baal. I'll bet you Australians, I'll bet you there's 7,000 of you Australians that have not bowed your knee to Baal. I'll bet you'd find 7,000 in New Zealand and probably find 7,000 in Canada. Hell, you might find 7,000 in Scotland and Ireland. And so all around the world, there are a few iconoclasts out there. You know, there's a few of us that get away and then go out and reproduce, you know. So we're not extinct, but there's not very many of us. And this guy, Franklin Sanders, he's one of them. There are not very many guys like him, but there's a few. Now, you Australians got one down there. His name is Buckler. Buckler puts out a paper called the Privateer. We got another one here in the United States, and his name is Bob Chapman. See, he's another one of these underground newsletter writers, you know, that isn't anxious to bend his knee to Baal. He's a resister, and so he's out here and he's publishing and he's saying, "Hey, here's what we can expect. Here's what's happened in the past." And here's probably what's going to happen again in the future. And so the reason I'm bringing out Sanders' article over here, it's called Likelihoods. Here's what's likely to occur. And Sanders puts out a parallel article over here on surviving hyperinflation. Now, Sanders says he doesn't think that hyperinflation is very likely. Well, I disagree, Frank. I think that hyperinflation is absolute certainty. I don't think we can miss. But he does bring out a good point here. He said it's really not in anybody's best interest. But Frank, who in the hell ever told you that the Illuminati was ever doing anything in anybody's best interest? I mean, these guys are sociopaths, as Chapman calls them. These guys are criminals. And as a result of that, they've got an agenda, they've got a goal. And I think that the destruction of the dollar is in that plan. And the destruction of the dollar by hyperinflation, I think, is well within the scope of that plan. So, just in case, I mean, Sanders is no dummy, you know, he said, well, just in case I'm wrong on the hyperinflation, as an outcome, because hyperinflation is the least likely outcome, he says. In social upheaval, the destruction of a nation's currency equals a violent political revolution. And the French revolutionary hyperinflation ended with Napoleon. And the German hyperinflation eventually brought Hitler to power. You know, that's exactly what I think they're aiming for here, Frank. I think they're going to promote violent revolution for the express purpose of bringing in martial law and locking up all the dissenters and taking over the world in the new world order. I think that's in the plan there. Now, maybe it isn't. Maybe something else is coming down. You want to remember that I've never claimed to be a prophet, priest, or potentate or pope, you know. I'm just old George out here. Little George Goebbels said, just old lonesome George. Listen to surviving hyperinflation. He says, out of the inflation of prices grew a speculating class, and in the complete uncertainty as to the future, all business became a game of chance, and all businessmen became gamblers. In city centers came a quick growth of stock jobbers and speculators, and these set a debasing fashion in business which spread to the remotest parts of the country. Instead of satisfaction with legitimate profits came a passion for inordinate gains. And then, too, as values became more and more uncertain, there was no longer any motive for care or economy, but every motive for immediate expenditure and present enjoyment. So came upon the nation the obliteration of thrift. That was Andrew Dixon White, Fiat Money, Inflation in France, page 108. Hell, that's exactly where we're at today. That's what we just lived through in the 1990s, in the last 20 years. That's describing America, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Western Europe. Just fits us to a T. All right, now the party's over and the hangover's starting, see? And so we're all sitting here saying, well, we don't want the party to end. And so our host, our president, says, well, let's not break up the party. Let's bring in some more booze. Let's bring in some more broads and some more rock and roll, and let's keep the party going. Oh, I don't think so. Sun's coming up. Everybody's bombed out. Those that ain't too drunk to stand up are passed out drunk under the table. I don't think we can revive this party. That's my opinion. Now, hyperinflation is generally defined as prices rising more than 10% a month. It is the worst catastrophe. I'm just looking for the rest of the article here. It's the worst catastrophe that a monetary system in a nation can experience. I want to add a little something to that. We are witnessing this right now in a country called Zimbabwe. That country down there used to be, in 1980, it used to be a first world industrial nation. I don't know if you knew that. Their Zimbabwe dollar was equal in value to the U.S. dollar back in 1980. Today, it is a failed state. They elected a Marxist, and he's been president now for 30 years, and they've been practicing communism in a serious way. I mean, they just got right after it. And as a result of that, they have a predictable end result, hyperinflation. I don't know if it's 100,000% a month or 1,000,000% a month. It's just astronomical. There's no goods on the shelf. Last time I saw a number, gasoline was $237,000 a gallon. And that was the good news. If you had $237,000, you could buy a gallon of gas. The bad news is there isn't any gas to buy at any price. No gas to buy. So when Sanders says that hyperinflation is the worst catastrophe that a monetary system in a nation can experience, he ain't whistling Dixie here, kids. Every historical event that I have ever researched, when they talk about hyperinflation, if you want to talk about misery, you want to talk about heartache, hopelessness, want, despair, hyperinflation is where it's at. If there's any way you people could go for deflation, depression, any alternative to hyperinflation, you want to take it. You want to avoid hyperinflation like you want to avoid AIDS. If you have a choice between gonorrhea, syphilis, and AIDS, opt for the VD. Every time. It's called the lesser of the two evils. You want to avoid that AIDS thing at all costs. Now, we're not going to avoid hyperinflation, and that's because that's exactly what the powers that be want to bring upon us. It's exactly what all of the policies that they're following is guaranteed to produce. You can't miss. Can't miss. And they've already launched the ship. It's on its way down the waves. It's like, you ever watched the launching of a ship? And some they always get a woman. So you get some lady out here, and she swings this bottle of champagne up against the hull, and they break a bottle of champagne to launch this ship. And then somebody pulls the pin, and the ship starts down the waves. Now, once they pull the pin, and the ship starts moving, and somebody says, hold it, stop right there. Oh, no, no, no. No, you're not going to stop that ship. There isn't anything in the world going to stop that ship once it starts moving. Once it moved that first millimeter, it's gone. Gone, boys and girls. And this ship is already on the way. This hyperinflation ship is already on its way, picking up speed. And the president says, we're going to stop it right here. You're going to do something and fall back in it. That's all that's going to happen there. All right, now, let's think about this pragmatically. He says, almost always it ends with the death of the currency and its replacement by a new currency. Well, over here they call that the Amero. See, the Amero. You got a new currency coming here to North America. And so, first of all, we got to destroy the old currency. Now, here's what this means to all of you people out there that have a 401k. You know, you got $100,000, $200,000 sitting over here in the bank. You've been working your hiney off for years and years, and you're saving your money. And it's all going to be swept away. Gone. How do you like that? That's what you got to look forward to. That's why I said I don't think... Hey, you Social Security pensioners out there. You old ladies, 80 years old, living on Social Security, down in Florida, struggling to make ends meet. It's going to be swept away, gone. And I know somebody says, well, what's my old grandma going to do when she doesn't have her Social Security? She's going to starve to death. Dead. D-E-D. That's what's going to happen to old granny. Let's wake up here. And the sociopaths that are in the process of bringing this to pass, you know, today they're all smiling. Oh, we're going to save you. We're out here just working our hearts out here, going to save the economy. Hell, these are the lunatics and criminals that created this problem to start with. Now, I got to tell you, boys and girls, you know our Creator, our God, you know this God, the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, He told us years ago, He said, don't practice unjust weights and balances. Thou shalt not steal. Don't practice usury and interest. So it isn't, you know, like we never knew this and hadn't been told. We've been told. Now, I don't know where in hell Billy Graham was, you know, when he was running his crusades for Christ. I don't know where he was when he wasn't. Hey, wait a minute. When he was visiting President Nixon, when he was talking to presidents and giving him advice and persuasion and counsel, did he ever tell the president, let's go back to gold and silver, Mr. President, like God told us. Let's get off this banking and central banking crap over here. Let's quit inflating the currency over here and robbing old ladies. Did Billy Graham ever tell a president that? Did any president ever go to Congress in the State of the Union message and say, listen, enough's enough already. We've got a constitution that says no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt, and I think we ought to go back to it. I think we should go back to it because that's what God told us to do in the first place, and we didn't listen. Hey, have you ever heard a president do that? You ever heard a senator or a representative? Any public official? Secretary of the Treasury? Huh? You ever heard one? I haven't either. Do you think Americans are going to wake up because they heard this radio broadcast and they're going to vote the bad guys out? Huh? Do you think that's going to happen? You know, it's time for you people to wake up and smell the coffee. It's bad now and it's getting worse and it's going to get worser. Let's just ponder briefly what prices rising at 10% a month means. That means that what's costing $100 today when the year begins costs $285 when the year ends. Did you get that? 10% per month inflation means that if it costs $100 today, next year on this date it's going to cost $285. Gas at $4 a gallon in January becomes $12.55 a gallon on December 31st. A loaf of bread that costs $1.70 today costs $5.34 next year at this time. A 20% a month hyperinflation becomes unbearable. From the year's beginning, $4 a gallon gas grows to $36 at year's end. A $1.70 loaf of bread costs $15, and a $100 anything costs $900. At 30% a month inflation, a $100 price in January is $2,300 on December 31st. Usually, hyperinflations grow at a growing rate, so on a graph, prices appear as a hyperbola, driving straight up skyward. And unless your revenue increases about as fast as prices, then you're sunk. You're dead. D-E-D, dead on arrival. And if you're on a fixed income, such as a pension, Social Security, or so, the value of your revenue is decreasing daily. So you must have revenue from some other source. Savings, as in a bank account, will not cut it, since those dollars in your savings account will be depreciating along with all others. Hey, how do you like that? 10%, 20%, 30% inflation. And in Zimbabwe, it's 100,000% per year. Can you picture that? The money is useless. You're better off using it for toilet paper. You'll get more BTUs out of it. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. So be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about likelihoods. Likelihoods. What's likely to be coming down the pike? Franklin Sanders and his Money Changer for January 2009 has a lead article in here, followed by Surviving Hyperinflation. You can get a copy from the Money Changer at 888. Write this telephone number down now. It's toll free. 888-218-9226. Once more, that's 888-218-9226. I would reckon that Frank must have a computer someplace. Let me see if there's any. Oh, here's email down here. He's got an email address here. It says franklin@themoneychanger.com. Oh, here it is. Look at this. They got a web page. It's www.the-moneychanger.com. www.the-moneychanger.com. If you want to email him, you can email at franklin@the-moneychanger.com. All right, so that'll give you an address here, and you send him a letter. Say, hey, listen, I heard you on Gordon the other day, and he recommended these two articles. Now, I don't review the Money Changer or any particular newsletter on a regular basis, but from time to time, when I see something that catches my eyeball, then I like to report on it. And this was one that caught my eyeball. And it did so because what are we going to do? You know, us bottom feeders, us little guys down here, the guy that's got a mortgage on his house, he's already underwater, and he's just lost his job. What are we going to do now, Bob? Well, believe it or not, there's a solution to our problem. You know, you're not the first guy that's ever been unemployed, and you're not going to be the last. And you're not the first guy that ever made a bad housing investment, and you're not going to be the last. And there's a solution to the problem. But more of the same ain't going to hack it. I've likened it to going down to Flo's. You get a dose of clap, and then you come back and say, oh my God, I got VD. What am I going to do? And I say, well, why don't you go back down to Flo's, pick out another girl down there, and maybe you can get rid of your clap. Huh? Boys and girls, the problem began down at the whorehouse. And the solution to VD is not likely to be found in a whorehouse. Now, the problem with our economic collapse today is found in our banking system, our fiat currency, our communist practice, the second and fifth planks and the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. It is not likely that more communism is going to solve the economic problem, although 62% of Americans believe that it will. And President Obama says he believes it will. That's why I told you last time, I said, hell, let me off this train, would you? Let me off this ship. And I'm going to sit back here on the sidelines and watch you people sail off into the sunset, into happiness and success. Meanwhile, back here on the farm, under hyperinflation, continued on page 3, wage increases tend to lag price increases, and wage earners suffer nearly as much as pensioners. Under hyperinflation, wage earners. All right, now what's that tell us? Hey, Bob, you lost your job, you're unemployed. That's the first step in the right direction. Wage earners are going to suffer, so you don't want to be a wage earner. So we need to go do something else. If you're a pensioner and you're already retired and on a pension, okay, it's time for you to wake up, Bob. Get off that pension, because that pension's going to evaporate right in front of your eyeballs, day by day. Well, what are we going to do if we don't have a pension? Okay, what are the people in Zimbabwe doing today now that they don't have a pension? Well, they're going to starve to death, and that's what's happening down there. So if you don't want that to happen here, you need to get off your pension. But I'm 82. Well, Moses was 80 when he got his last assignment. And he died at 120. So for the last 40 years of his life, from 80 to 120, Moses gave up his Social Security pension. Did you know that? Moses didn't have any pension his last 40 years. He was out working every day. He wasn't liked well, but he went to work every day, did his job. And so I would suggest if you're 82 years old, get off your pension, let's go back to work. Because that's where reality is going to be, shortly. Not right away. You got a couple of years. Might as well start thinking about it. Wage earners, here's what your problem is with wage earners. Your wages will go up, but they will always go up at about half the rate of inflation. So while inflation is going up at 10% a month, your wages will be going up at 5%. So you will be taking a real cut of about 5%. 5% constantly. And then when inflation goes to 20% inflation, then you'll be taking about a 10% cut. When inflation goes to 30%, you'll be taking a 15% cut. Now that's the rule of thumb to follow. Your wage increases are about half what the rate of inflation is. Forget about the official rate of inflation. The guys that are bringing this inflation on are lying, sociopathic criminals. They don't tell the truth either. So, because of that, you can't believe the numbers that come out of the Department of Labor. Your government lies to you all the time. They don't lie to you every single time, all the time. They just lie to you all the time and tell the truth once in a while to keep you confused and deceived all the time. Sometimes they tell you the truth, sometimes they tell you a lie. And that keeps you deceived all the time. So tuck that one away in your heart. Alternative money. Wage earner or pensioner, you must have some savings outside of the national currency to supplement your revenue during a hyperinflation. Historically, those suffering under hyperinflation have answered this with foreign currencies, such as the U.S. dollar. In many South American countries, the U.S. dollar has circulated in parallel to the national currency. Of course, that history has now passed, and now the dollar is at the same rate of inflationary risk as any South American currency is. The ultimate alternative currencies are gold and silver coin. Now take your 401ks and your savings or whatever you got, convert it to gold, bury it in a hole in the ground, whatever you got. Save as much of your assets as is possible. Now, we got to get into some kind of a business. We have to be doing something that other people need. We have to be selling people things that they've got to have. And I can't think of a better business than food in a famine. Food in a famine. People have to have food. Is there a famine coming? No doubt. How do I know that? Revelation chapter 6, Leviticus chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 28 promise it. I mean, the creator of the universe guarantees it, promises it, and says, if it don't happen, then I ain't God. So I think you can take that one to the bank. Now, first of all, you need some food for yourself. How much food do you need? Well, I think you need a 4-year supply. Now, why do I think you need a 4-year supply? Because I think we're heading into the Great Tribulation. And if, in fact, this is the Great Tribulation, you need 1,260 days, 1,290 days, 1,335 days. Those are three time periods that we see in the book of Revelation that describe this period of time. And that may not be enough because the example that we see with Joseph in Genesis, in the 7-year famine in Egypt, may be that you need a 7-year supply. Well, if that's the case, then you need 2,520 days. I mean, just looking at it pragmatically here. Now, Franklin Sanders uses this word discontinuity. Let's see if I can pronounce that the way he's got it written here. Discontinuity. It isn't likely to happen. It's like hyperinflation. And he points out, well, look, hyperinflations don't occur very often. They're pretty rare. That's true. I don't deny that. The last time we had a hyperinflation in the United States of America was in 1783. That was a long time ago, 1783. It was the last one here in the United States. But we've had hyperinflations in other countries around the world, like Zimbabwe and Germany and Hungary and Romania and China. And, you know, come on. It's occurred in other places in South America. They call it banana republic money. And we've seen the effects of it. We see the results of it. We see how long it lasts. Hyperinflation can set in very rapidly. In Brazil, it set in 5,000% per month inflation in 3 days, 72 hours. That's all it took to set up. So if you think you're going to have years to prepare for this, I think you're going to be disappointed. You may. Well, I wouldn't say that you won't, but you know, it could happen as little as 3 days, and all of a sudden you got 5,000% inflation. Now, that's where we're headed. I think it's a certainty, not a discontinuity. I think it's a certainty. Now, it is true that it is an event that doesn't occur very often. Is it very likely? I think it is. Why? Because of the monetary policy. Boys and girls, when you create $8 trillion in 120 days, if that ain't hyperinflation, you tell me what the hell is. You've doubled your money supply in 4 months. Now, pretty soon, they'll be doubling your money supply every 2 months, and doubling your money supply every month. Now, when that happens now, there's going to be some dislocations in the economy. And your pensions and your 401ks and your wages are going to evaporate right in front of your eyeballs. Business is going to be just practically impossible to conduct. I cannot imagine how we're going to conduct business in such an atmosphere. I'll give it my best shot. But now, Sanders has got a couple of three suggestions here, and I thought his ideas were pretty good. He says, during a hyperinflation, prices actually rise faster than inflation, in fact, because people are discounting the expected fall in the currency's value even faster than it is really falling. And you must understand how to do business during a hyperinflation or speedily become a casualty of it. Now, most of you people are retired, or you're on, you know, fixed incomes, and you were a wage earner all of your life, and you don't know how to conduct business. Now's the time to learn, because if you don't learn, you're going to be a casualty of it. That's bottom line. And already, my phone is ringing off the hook with casualties that are saying, oh my God, Mr. Gordon, I wished I'd listened to you, and I wished I could do more, and here's what my problem is, as if I'm a savior and I'm going to save you. And I got news for you. I'm not. I'm a reporter. I can't save you, but you might be able to save yourself if you just knew how. That's why I suggested this January issue of the Money Changer. What's likely to happen, and surviving hyperinflation. Two dynamite articles by Franklin Sanders. I think he pretty much hit the nail on the head. The only disagreement I have with you, Frank, is that I think that you're a boundless optimist. Boundless optimist. In his article here, he said, I think this is going to go on. Here he says, for the next 4 years are going to be very bleak. And I said, you're expecting this for 4 years, Frank? Frank, 4 years? If we're out of this in 4 years, that's going to be utopia. We could be in this for the next 30 years. You know, just following the numbers from the last Great Depression. Everything we're doing is on a scale larger than the last time around. Everything that the government's doing today is 4 times larger, bigger, better, and badder than we've ever tested in the past. I would expect then that we could get results that are 4 times bigger, worser, and badder than the last time. we went through this. So I'm not arguing with Sanders at all. It's just that it looks like he's pretty damn optimistic to me. I don't see that kind of optimism. So he says, doing business under a hyperinflation. He says, during a hyperinflation, the prices are actually going to rise faster than the real inflation, because once it gets started, then we're all geared to, well, this money's getting cheaper every month. So we start raising our prices faster than the money is actually depreciating. This then causes the goods to disappear from the shelves based upon the expectation that next month, so everybody's buying anything in sight, getting rid of their money. No shortage of money now in a hyperinflation. Lots of money out there. But it drives all the goods off the shelf because there is not a corresponding production of goods and services. You're printing money faster than the goods and services. The goods and services disappear from the shelves, and now you have shortages. Now, this is compounded in the United States by the fact that we rely upon imports, balance of payments deficits, and we haven't paid our suppliers. Now, when you don't pay your suppliers, they get mean. They get nasty. Vindictive. They put you on COD and shut off your credit. Boys and girls, without credit, we can't live. That's because we're not producing enough for ourselves. So for those of us that want to do something constructive immediately or as rapidly as possible, we have to get to where we're self-sustaining. You have to bring your consumption into line with your production. You cannot consume more than you produce. Can you say live within your means, boys and girls? I know for Americans it's a wild new idea. But mull it over a little bit. It's called living within your means. If you make $1,000 a month, you can't spend $1,100. I know that that's un-American, but that's the way it's got to be. So when we make $1,000 a month, we spend $900 and we save $100, and we don't save it in the form of paper money, because that paper money is depreciating. We're losing. All right, now, the first rule, time eats money. The longer you hold this money, the more you lose. Minimize your cash holdings. Manage your cash. It's almost like location. You've got to manage your cash or hyperinflation will destroy you. You've got to be prepared to do business in currencies other than the U.S. dollar. Your business can even have to convert, or may even have to convert to another currency altogether, such as gold and silver. And he goes on to point out here that that might not be all that bad. That's why having a bag or two or three of silver coin, you know, the old junk silver. See, we can work out the value of it right now. 14 dimes equals 1 ounce. So if the price of silver was $14 an ounce, then the price of one Federal Reserve note dollar is equal to one dime. So if I wanted to collect from you and you owed me $14, I could say, if you would give me $1.40 in silver coin, and that could come in the form of 2 50-cent pieces and 4 dimes, that'd be $1.40, 14 dimes, can you make change, boys and girls? Then you and I could do business. You know, you could come over here and buy a gallon of milk for $6 in Federal Reserve notes and give me six dimes, and then that would be 60 cents, wouldn't it? See how that works? Very simple. Now listen, it's almost akin to barter. Almost akin to barter. And barter will come back into play. You must be long on goods and short on money. Goods, and more goods. Almost sounds like location. It's called inventory. What you want are the goods. The money is no good. Minimize cash holdings by turning your cash into inventory. Hold cash balances in some other form other than hyperinflating currency. Hey, boys and girls, you don't want those Zimbabwean dollars. So the people in Zimbabwe have to do business in South African rands. They have to do business in dollars. They got to do business in euros or something else, because the Zimbabwe money is practically valueless. So next in, first out. Base your sales price on anticipated, not your current replacement cost, never the acquisition cost. You want to use your next in, first out accounting, not your last in, first out, but your next in, first out. Otherwise, you'll find yourself selling your product for less than the replacement cost. See, that's the troubling part. You're over here selling pencils, and you buy a pencil for a nickel and you sell it for a dime. Well, when the price of it goes to a dime, you got to be selling it for 20 cents to make your same profit margin. See? And so as these prices are constantly going up, you got to be selling your old inventory that you paid, you know, you paid a nickel and you sold it for a dime. Okay, well, now you paid a nickel for it, but you got to be selling it for 20 cents, and that's because the next one that comes in is going to cost you a dime. You can't replace these for a nickel anymore. And keeping up with current price rises is going to be a nightmare. So your purchasing department becomes much more important, not only for buying at the right price, but also for being able to buy at all. Supplies are going to shrink as the hyperinflation progresses. You've got to minimize your exposure to inflation. You may not even be able to get the supplies that you need. Pencils may just dry up. During the Korean War, I was a paper boy. And as a paper boy, I needed rubber bands. And rubber bands were rationed. They were only a dollar a box, a dollar a pound. For a dollar, I could get a box of rubber bands. I needed a box a month, a little bit more than a box a month. But my ration was a box a month, so I was always short rubber bands. That's called wage and price control. So they'll put price controls on, but when they do, then the supply disappears. Now you can't buy them at any price. They're not available. It's not there to buy, no matter how much money you get. So when we're talking about surviving hyperinflation, boys and girls, this is going to be tricky. You need to get out of wage earning. So if you're a wage earner right now, you need to start looking for some kind of a business. Food's a good one. Not the only one. Repairs. Fixing things. Fixing people's roofs. Fixing their plumbing. Fixing their cars. And that's because people aren't going to be buying new cars. They'll be fixing their old one. They're not going to be buying new houses. They'll be fixing the roof on the old one. They're not going to be buying new houses. They'll be fixing the plumbing in the house that they've got. So if you can repair, if you can fix, if you can make do, if you can repair shoes, anything that can be repaired, if you can repair it, fix it, make it last longer. Those are the kinds of things. Cost cutting. Cost-saving enterprises. That's what you want to zero in on. Hey, I'm about out of time here again, boys and girls. We're going to have to leave it right about here and remind you we'll be back tomorrow talking about this thing of likelihoods. What's coming and what can we be expecting? What should we be preparing for? Meanwhile, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and Good night, friends.